mean, I can.
Hello. Can you hear me now? Hello. Hi. This is KZFR Radio 90.1 FM. A listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm sorry for that dead air. You are listening to right now is The Doctor's Inn. And The Doctor's Inn is programmed by me, Ken Logan, a family practice doctor here in Chico. And what I do my best to do one day a month, the third Thursday of the month from 6 to 7 in the evening, is to have on the show what we do is cover subjects medically and health-related subjects that I think hopefully you, the listeners, are interested in. Today, we have with us a community member, community activist and citizen, Tom Reed. He's a very knowledgeable man relative to healthcare situation and healthcare reform potentials in our country and in our community. And Tom, let's see if your mic is on.
Let's see if my mic is on. Is my mic on?
Yeah, it looks like cool. We're listening to you.
Step in the right direction.
Excellent. So, Tom, I'm going to get back to you in a minute. Okay, but thank you for being here. Listeners, stay tuned for Tom and to me. We're going to be covering issues about healthcare availability, including talking about a healthcare forum that will be coming up in the near future, this coming month, where some of the people running for local offices, including our local Congress seat, will hopefully be present at a healthcare forum to discuss healthcare, their views on that subject, and what they can do for us relative to that. We're going to get back to that in a minute. Before we go there, I want you to know that the opinions voiced on this program are not necessarily the opinions of KZFR underwriters, staff, or... Hello? Am I on the air? So, we're having a little, some issues with the equipment, which we're going to deal with here in the next few minutes, but I hope you're hearing me over the air. Let me try this. Can you hear me now? where was I? Oh, yes. I know what I want to do. I want to talk to you about the... Hey, this is live radio. You gotta love it. I know I do. For The Doctor's Inn, I want to talk to you right now about underwriters for the show. And The Doctor's Inn is made possible by you, the generous contributions you give to this station, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Rooney Law Firm, defending your legal rights and dedicated to improving people's lives one case at a time. To have a free legal consultation for all your legal matters, you can call law-help. That's LAW-HELP. Or visit rooneylawfirm.com. And Rooney is R-O-O-N-E-Y, lawfirm.com. The subject, again, that we're going to be talking about today is healthcare availability for we, the citizens of the country, the state, and our community. And before we lead further into that, I want to describe to the listeners the healthcare provider types or categories that are available in the community or in the whole country. When you are looking for healthcare help, there are a number of different categories of healthcare providers that you can seek help from. So when we're talking about availability of healthcare, we need to think about the entirety of these healthcare providers. And it can get a little confusing for people in the general public, I believe. And so I'm a family practice physician here, and I'm gonna give you a little rundown right now on who is who, profession wise. Not personal names, but the categories of these healthcare professions. So first, I'm gonna talk about it briefly as MD or medical doctor. That's what I am. Means I'm licensed in the state of California to be your doctor. And that means I went to undergraduate school for 4 years in a college and then went to medical school for 4 years. And then after that, everything that's required to be a doctor. Also in the United States and in our state and our community, there are DOs. And DO stands for Doctor of Osteopathy. And DOs, in a practical sense, are nearly synonymous in my mind to MD doctors. In other words, a DO is licensed in the state of California to do essentially anything and everything that an MD or medical doctor does. We're cut out of the same fabric. Now, our schools and some of the missions of training may vary a bit, but in reality, they vary a bit from individual school to individual school. Be the professional you're seeing is a DO or an MD. Our schools, MD schools, vary on to a degree on how they present, some information such as preventative medicine, et cetera, to their students. Well, DO school, I suspect, is a similar scenario where one school may differ a bit from another one. But MDs and DOs do the same kind of work here in the state for you. They can be your doctor, your family doctor, or your specialist of any sort. Then I want to say another thing, and that is about NDs. That's not M. But NDs. NDs are doctors of naturopathic medicine. So ND stands for naturopathic doctor. Naturopathic doctors are licensed in the state of California to also be your primary care or family doctor if you choose. For instance, in the state of California and in Chico, California, there are NDs, naturopathic doctors. Now, they use in their work medications and supplements that are more natural-oriented as opposed to prescription medications, although they, too, can prescribe many of the prescription medicines that a person would need. Now, they need a medical doctor to be their backup. But nonetheless, they are licensed doctors, not physicians, but licensed doctors in the state of California, and they could be your primary care doctor. I know there is, if you were looking up naturopathic doctors, Chico, California, if you Googled that, you could find who is available in our community. Then also there are what I call mid-level practitioners, which are practitioners that can do almost what a doctor can do, but have to be supervised directly by a doctor. And that would be a physician assistant or a PA. And there are doctors and clinics in the community and around the country who have PAs working with doctors. This is a common thing. PAs, or physician assistants, are not doctors, but they can see patients and take care of most medical problems just like a doctor would, and prescribe most medication. They essentially can prescribe medications like a doctor can. They are absolutely supervised by a physician. However, they are otherwise independent to see patients. Another mid-level practitioner category is nurse practitioner. Now, a nurse practitioner is a registered nurse, or an RN, who has gone on for further training to be an independent healthcare provider too, also. And that means they also are able to see patients and take care of medical conditions just like a doctor does, write prescriptions just like a doctor does, and be, for instance, the primary care provider for a patient. Then also in the medical field, there are psychiatrists. Psychiatrists are MDs, medical doctors, or DOs, doctors of osteopathy, who specialize in psychiatry. They prescribe medicines. They're MDs, just like me, only their specialty is psychiatry. Mine is family practice. There are also, however, doctors of psychology who are PhD doctors. They're not MD or DO doctors. They're PhD doctors and doctors of psychology. So you can have a psychologist who is a quote-unquote doctor, PhD doctor. Now, that doctor is not able to prescribe medications, is more likely to do therapy with you, that is counseling as well. So that's another category. Then I just want to say that two more briefly. Chiropractors are DCs, or doctors of chiropractic medicine. They are doctors of chiropractic. They are trained in the body mechanics and dealing with the skeleton and diseases and treatments thereof. I'm not very familiar with their scope of practice, but they are not MDs, not DOs. They are DCs. They got their own special kind of specialty thing, doctors of chiropractic. Then there are DPMs, or doctors of podiatric medicine. Those are doctors also. They're not medical doctors, but they are doctors of podiatric medicine. In other words, they are foot doctors. So foot doctors, they're truly doctors, but they're doctors of podiatric, which is foot medicine. Those are available in the community as well. So there's a whole string of healthcare providers you or anybody may want and should get involved with help from relative to your medical or psychiatric needs. So when we talk about healthcare availability, we're talking about availability to be under the care of one or more of those types of medical professionals. Well, can we take a little break? Let's take a little bitty music break here. Ray Logger's helping me out now. Thank gosh. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you, Ray.
Katie tried. I was halfway crucified. I was on the other side of no tomorrow. You walked in and my life began again. Just when I'd spent the last piaster I could borrow. All night
I Hey, hello there. You're back listening to the Doctor's Inn on KZFR 90.1 Community Radio here in Chico, California. And on the Doctor's Inn, our guest today is Tom Reed, community. I call you a community activist and a citizen, solid citizen of our community.
That's it's very flattering.
Very flattering, Ken.
Good to have you back on the show, Tom. I know you've been on the show before. I want you to please inform me and the listeners of some healthcare, some important healthcare information.
Yeah. There will be a healthcare, a candidate forum on healthcare, Wednesday, October 10th, 7 to 9. Doors open at 6:30. The location is the Guild on 2775 Old Nord Avenue. The activity is co-sponsored by the Butte County Healthcare Coalition, the local chapter of the Physicians for a National Health Program, the Chico Peace and Justice Center, the California Health Professional Student Alliance, which are people in training to be physicians or other medical professionals, and finally the Chico Housing Action Team, also known as CHAT.
Wow. All those organizations are co-sponsoring this healthcare forum.
That's correct, and it'll be moderated.
It'll be moderated by
Mike Wiltermuth, who's the CEO of Enloe Hospital.
It'll be moderated by Mike Wiltermuth, the CEO at Enloe, for crying out loud. Okay, what do you mean a healthcare forum? What the heck is that?
Well, the whole idea is, of course, to get an opportunity for people in the community to hear from the various candidates what their positions are on the present healthcare system and the prospects for healthcare reform.
So this is a forum where some of the people running for some of the local offices, including Congress, federal House of Representatives spot in our area, will be discussing their opinions relative to our healthcare system and how we can improve what we are seeing in our lot in life relative to our healthcare system. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we'll be having, so far, confirmation. We have a confirmation from Audrey Denny.
And Audrey Denny is running for what seat?
She's running for Congress, for the first congressional district, the seat presently held by Doug LaMalfa.
So she's running for the seat in Congress in our area that is presently held by Doug LaMalfa, and she will be there.
She will be
What's her name again?
Audrey Dennis. She will definitely
Audrey
be there.
Audrey Denny?
Dennis.
Dennis. Audrey
Dennis. Probably Denny, excuse
Denny. Audrey Denny. Audrey Denny.
Okay, must be getting old here.
Running for the House of Representatives slot in our area.
We'll also have Kayleen Sisk, who's running for the California Assembly in District 1.
What's her name again?
Kayleen Sisk.
Kayleen Sisk, and she's running for what office?
For the 1st Assembly District.
1st Assembly District for California.
Right, that's legislature. Presently held by Brian Dahl.
All right.
For the 3rd Assembly District, Sonia Airy is running for that position.
Sonia Airy.
Which is presently held by James Gallagher.
Uh-huh.
And finally, from the 4th Senatorial District, Philip Kim.
Philip Kim.
Is a candidate for that.
And that's our state Senate seat.
That's correct. The position presently held by Jim Nielsen.
Oh, uh-huh.
So far, Audrey Denny, Kayleen Sisk, Sonia Airy and Philip Kim have confirmed they will be there.
They will be there, those names you read. Now, what about the other people who, like, say, the people who currently have those offices?
They have all been invited. In fact, we've invited all of them on a number of occasions. We're hoping they will
come. All of them are invited.
They are all invited because we want to have all of the candidates for each position.
So, yeah, now this is a local community grassroots forum on healthcare, really availability in the system of healthcare that we have and what our elected officials could help us with and their opinions on that. And the forum is being moderated by the CEO of our local hospital, Mike Wiltermuth. And you've invited all of these candidates and people who are currently in those positions have been invited.
That's correct.
But some of them aren't coming? We haven't heard from them yet.
They haven't confirmed yet.
All right.
So far, we have confirmation from Audrey Denny, Kayleen Sisk, Sonia Airy, and Philip Kim.
All right.
We've extended more than one invitation to Doug LaMalfa, Brian Dahl, Jim Gallagher, and Jim Nielsen. We haven't heard back from them.
So I'm glad.
We're hoping they'll make it, but they have not confirmed yet.
Certainly glad, of course, that those politicians were invited too. And, oh, I wish they, I just hope, so much hope they show up to the forum. So the forum, the healthcare forum, tell us again the date, time, and location.
Yeah, the date is Wednesday, October 10th, 7 to 9. Doors open at 6:30. Our location is the Guild on 2775 Old Nord Avenue.
So at the Guild on Nord Avenue, and it's 27 what?
2775. Right.
On Nord Avenue. Okay, and it's Wednesday, October 10th, and what's the time?
7 to 9. Doors open at 6:30.
7 to 9.
And we're going to ask people policy questions, whether they support custom Medicare, whether they support Medicare for all, if they think we need a cap on drugs and hospital costs, whether they think healthcare is a human right, and what role, if any, they see in a rational healthcare system for private profit-seeking businesses. To let the cat out of the bag here a little bit, Audrey Denny, Sonia Airy, and Philip Kim are all outspoken supporters of Medicare for all. Kayleen Sisk advocates universal health care, but so far as I know, and I could be mistaken, so far as I know, she's not yet said whether she supports Medicare for all or whether she's looking at some other kind of approach. But we'll find out there on October 10th. And again, hopefully we'll have the other candidates there as well.
Right. Boy, that'll be, I certainly hope so. I'm looking forward to that forum October 10th, Wednesday the 10th at the Guild, and that... Yeah. And that's at
2775 Old Nord Avenue in Chico, 7 to 9, doors open at 6:30.
On the 10th of October.
And I'd like just to mention, just in passing, because we have city council elections, too.
Yes.
And although we're not going to pass a comprehensive health care bill in the city, still I think it's worthwhile knowing that there are candidates who do support Medicare for all, for example, Rich Ober, Scott Huber,
sure,
Rich Ober, Scott Huber, and Alex Brown are all supporters of Medicare for all, and the relevance there, and there may be others, other candidates whose positions I don't know yet.
Sure,
but the importance there is that if we were to have a system of Medicare for all, the town of Chico would save a ton of money, and we all know that the town always has more demands than they can fund, whether it's from police protection to parks to the arts to whatever.
Right,
we always have more needs than we can fund, and if we could save maybe a couple million bucks through a Medicare for all system, I'm sure that
it would help the other
aspects. Sure that our city councils would have a good time trying to figure out what to finance.
Yes, you know, and you mentioned a couple of things there, a couple of words there, Tom Reed. One is healthcare as a right, and off the top of my head, what I'm thinking of when I am going to sit at in the audience at that healthcare forum, and I'm going to, I am going to listen to as a doctor and a patient, you know, a citizen. I'm going to listen to those people who are running for office in our area and their opinions relative to healthcare as a right or not. I think that's it speaks to me in my mind whether a person who is in a position of authority in our politics, and if they either do or they don't in their gut, in their soul, feel that health care is a right or not a right. That tells me a fair amount about that politician's characteristics, their where their soul is. And so I'm going to open up my ears when they're talking.
I just mentioned that the idea of health care as a human right is included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which came out of the time that the United Nations was formed. Our country is one of the very few advanced industrial societies that does not include healthcare as a human right. Healthcare, consistent with the economic situation and the technical sophistication of a particular society, but every other advanced industrial mostly capitalist societies guarantee that, as well as many less affluent societies. Cuba, for example, has a marvelous healthcare system within the physical limitations and within the financial limitations of that society. So we are really lagging behind in terms of looking at healthcare basically as a commodity, that healthcare and health insurance, you buy healthcare, health insurance like you would buy a pair of running shoes or maybe a widescreen TV, without often recognizing that it's very different. It's very different in the impact on your life and the kind of considerations you take into account when making decisions about it.
Yes, and you know, I was doing a little reading today, and the subject of healthcare as a right in a country, in countries across the world, and not currently yet that foundation isn't here yet in our politicians, in our country, that healthcare is a right, I don't feel. And this article I was reading was talking about other countries where they feel all the people of that country, basically, including the politicians, feel that, yeah, right, healthcare is a right. And now how do we do it? How do we, what steps do we need to take in our country? I'm talking about some of the other countries. What steps do each of those countries have they taken? What steps have they taken to do their best to assure that all their citizens, all their people living there, have healthcare availability?
Well, you know, they've taken different routes to some extent.
And they've all taken little different routes.
For example, I think you could probably identify three different models, three basic models. One is the kind of the Medicare for All model, like Canada has and Australia has, where insurance is publicly financed. Insurance is basically a right based upon not even citizenship, but a right based upon participation in the society, but where the healthcare services are delivered privately. So you could be in Canada and you could be a physician and you could have your own office. You're not not an employee of Quebec or wherever.
Right.
You can do that. Although there's limitations on that, and the rates are negotiated, your pay would be negotiated with the government. As a matter of fact, I just saw in the latest issue of the Physicians for a National Health Program newsletter an interesting thing, that in Quebec, 600 physicians have just signed a petition asking that their raises be withheld.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm deadly serious, that they don't want the raises. They want the money put in a pot to pay nurses, other healthcare professionals, and to provide additional services for the people of Quebec. And I thought that's a remarkable thing. We also have other countries which have programs, universal healthcare programs, that really are nationalized, socialized medicine. We're pushing for a Medicare for All system along the lines of Canada.
Which is not actually a socialized medicine at all.
It's
a universal medicine, but
it's
universal health.
It's socialized insurance.
But
it's not socialized medical delivery. But there are countries that
not socialized medical delivery.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But there are countries which do it that way, and I have no real problem.
You
with
mean socialized
that.
Medical delivery as well,
right?
As medical insurance,
for example,
is socialized.
Yeah, in Eden, in England, in Spain, in Sweden, other countries, basically you have a national health program,
right,
where the physicians are employed by the government, where the hospitals are owned by the government, and that seems to actually work out fairly well. I mean, you can come up with criticisms of them, but none of those criticisms hold a candle to the criticisms that I would have of this country in terms of the cost and in terms of the lack of support.
Go ahead.
Just one thing, which seems kind of ironic, that we have two actual, for example, Medicare is really a system along the lines of the Canadian or Australian system.
Mm-hmm.
But the one system that we have in this country, which is really socialized medicine, is the veterans programs, where the physicians are employed by the government, where the hospitals are owned by the government. And despite what the right wing says, veterans hospitals consistently get among the highest ratings of any medical institutions in this country.
Wow.
I mean, they'll bring out one guy who had an excessive weight or something, or one guy who didn't like his doctor, but by polls of the veterans who've utilized those services, they are much more popular than virtually any other medical program in the country.
Wow. And you know, bringing up the fact that there are, you know, if we look at the healthcare systems in various countries throughout the United, throughout the world, and universal healthcare, in other words, everybody covered with healthcare availability, there being some problems, you know, one way or another, you know. What I hear sometimes is the issues that, and I know we all have heard this in Canada, for instance, if a patient has some surgery they need, say a hip replacement or something, and they have to wait months for that, and maybe go to a different country to get it done, and when I hear those kind of things, here's what goes through my mind. You would not believe the stories. You want to hear some stories? I'll tell you some stories about lack of healthcare availability and improper non-care in our country. So for every story I hear about a problem in a country that has universal healthcare, such as Canada or England, it just runs through my brain of the millions of uninsured people here in this country, right. and the millions of people who have these insurance policies that they're unable to use, which is much the consequences of that relative to healthcare, and we see it in the figures of death rates, and including in women's health and for pregnancy and health of newborns and. We do poorly in this country compared to other countries, and the reason I believe is that healthcare availability is so patchwork, so non-equalized and appropriate. That's why you and I and many of us are looking for a universal healthcare, that is healthcare that is equal and appropriate for all of us in this country. How we do it. You know, I think the first step by politicians and by the public is we need this. We need universal health care. All of us need equal and appropriate health care. It's a right. Then how do we do it? What's the least costly and most efficient way to do that? And that's where we come in with policy programs that we look at other countries about, and single payer being one of those systems.
Yeah, I'd like just to comment real briefly on the question of waiting periods.
Waiting periods for care?
For Canada and probably other countries as well. In Canada, basically if you have an emergency, medical emergency, you get treatment immediately. Now, that's also the case in this country for the most part, except for areas that are underserved and where there's not an accessible emergency room. I think most countries try to do that. You know, in urgent cases, in a situation where a person's condition is deteriorating or where there's a life-threatening situation going on, they get very timely care.
In
Canada. In this country, you get timely care if you have adequate insurance or if you can pay out of pocket. The situation of, for example, a person who needs a hip surgery in Canada and waits for 6 months, that's true. It really happens. It also happens in this country. And if you don't have good insurance, you never get the hip replacement.
You never get the hip.
An anecdote.
Yeah, in our country.
My parents...
If you don't have insurance. Yes.
My late parents had friends who lived in Canada. And the gentleman had a bad hip and needed a hip replacement. And he went down to the healthcare department, whatever the name of it is, and got on the list and was told it would be 6 months. And he says, I can't wait 6 months. So he goes to the U.S. He makes an appointment. I think it was with the Mayo Clinic, one of the top-notch clinics. And he comes to the U.S. and he sits down and they say, oh, we'll be more than happy to do it for you. We'll do a great job. It'll be $60,000. Mm-hmm. And he went home.
Without surgery.
So in this country, there is discussion here from time to time that Canadians come to the U.S. Usually that's because they're rich and they can afford it, and because there is a certain specialist who may be a world-class, whatever, and they come down for that specific reason.
And it may be the inverse. I'm sure there are, to be honest with you, as a doctor here, I'm sure there are specialists in Canada that people from the United States go to in
Absolutely.
Canada?
Absolutely.
Because and of their uniqueness of a certain specialty.
A specific physician happens to be an extraordinarily skilled and
So these things happen. Yeah.
It's also, just in passing here, I'd mention, you may know these, I don't know the numbers, but I know the concept. At virtually every year, there are more U.S. physicians who go to Canada than Canadian physicians who come to the U.S.
To work.
The reason being, in fact, I read about one guy. He was a psychiatrist. He was in Canada, came to the U.S. to make more money, and after 2 years went home. He said, I can't practice medicine like this. He said, I just can't do it. I can't have insurance companies looking over my shoulders. He says, in Canada, I practice medicine the way I think a physician should, within the limits of the system.
Right. Two things I want to say. One is, you mentioned that in Canada, in a system like Canada's, where they have universal health care, Medicare-like care for all their citizens, all their people living up there, if they have an emergency, they go to the emergency room, they get care right now. In the United States, in our system, even though it's broken, you go to the emergency room, even if you don't have insurance, you get taken care of. It will happen. You will get your emergency care. And guess what? If you don't have insurance and you don't qualify for Medicaid, like Medi-Cal, or certainly we're not did not have Medicare, the bill that you get from the emergency room may bring you to bankruptcy. Which isn't the case in Canada.
It isn't the case in any of these countries. The major cause of bankruptcies in this country is medical bills.
What?
Medical bills.
Say that one more time.
Can I say one more time? Medical bills. Major source of bankruptcies in this country. Many of your listeners.
Unbelievable.
And I know you have seen Michael Moore's movie, Sicko.
Yes.
Well, there's one scene in there that's really striking in relation to this. Michael Moore is interviewing a guy from a conservative party in Switzerland, and they had just a few years before decided to establish a universal health care system. This was a system like some others, like France and some other countries. They have private insurance companies, but they are non-profit. Mm-hmm. They're non-profit insurance companies, and they have the government negotiates rates, negotiates what services have to be provided, and so forth. But this Michael Moore is talking to this guy who, again, is a politician with the Conservative Party in Switzerland, and Michael Moore asks, how many people in Switzerland go bankrupt because of medical expenses? The guy is horrified. He says, what are you talking about?
How could that be a thought?
The people of Switzerland would never tolerate that.
Yes.
We say, you know, if a person has a medical emergency, they have enough problems dealing with that.
Right.
We would never think of imposing bankruptcy on them. You know?
You know what our problem is?
The Swiss are civilized, apparently.
They're civilized, and the political situation is not that the corporations, the large corporations in their country call the shots. And, you know, I think about the how capitalistic we are. I mean, there are a lot of countries who function relative to capitalism, but we have allowed industries such as the healthcare insurance industry to call the shots relative to our healthcare availability, payment and system of payment and availability of our healthcare system. They're an industry that is for profit and just part of our capitalistic system. It's unfortunate.
I would mention just in passing that one of the reasons that these countries have universal healthcare systems is that all of them have a relatively vibrant labor movement.
Mm.
Virtually all of them have a powerful socialist or social democratic or Labor Party. We in this country have none of those things. That's one reason why we don't have universal health care by now.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to say a couple of positive things. One is that building that kind of a movement, I think coming out of the Bernie Sanders campaign and the candidacy of some of the people who have been running for office over the course of this last year, and the infrastructure, which has been the political infrastructure, which is being developed by people coming out of the Sanders campaign, but not only including those people, including people who worked for Clinton, you know, people who are seeing the necessity of moving this country in a progressive direction, are really making things a lot
growing.
More hopeful. We have to get past November 6th, and we'll see what happens. But just a couple of things here. Do you need to take a break?
No, let's keep rolling here.
Well, you know, and I can finish this thought. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, I want to.
Right now, I believe Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All bill, I think it has 17 co-sponsors, which is basically a third of the Democratic senators. The most co-sponsors a single-payer bill in the Senate has had before was seven, and that was in 1994. Mm-hmm. We now have a situation where, for the first time ever, the majority of Democratic representatives support single-payer health care. They signed off on the bill, which is H.R. 676.
The majority of
Keith Ellison is the person who's spearheading that right now. So over half of the Democratic representatives in Congress have endorsed that. And maybe more important, for the first time, because, historically, get a politician, he'd sign off, say, sure, put my name on the list, and that'd be the end of it. But we now have, in the House of Representatives, a single-payer caucus, where there are 72 people who've signed on, roughly a third of the Democrats have signed on, no Republicans have, but a third of the Democrats have signed on, and what they are going to do, what they say they're going to do, is actively work for single-payer health care, to agitate for it, to organize for it, to educate for it, to speak out for it, and to try to actually make it a reality, whereas in the past it's been kind of a pro forma thing, sure, put my name on the list. But now it appears that we have a significant number of Democratic congresspeople who are actually going to work for this, and that makes, of course, the elections this fall all the more important.
Yeah. And you call that a single-payer caucus.
It's a single-payer caucus,
And about a third of the Democrats in the House of Representatives
are just about
participating
a third.
In that. Wow. So that's a good thing.
So this is
in the right direction.
Yeah, this makes us stronger than we have ever been before legislatively.
Well,
we have no friends on the other side of the aisle, so.
Yeah.
We're limited in what our friends in Congress can do right now, but they're working at it.
Yeah, you're giving me a positive day here, Tom. I appreciate that.
Don't mention it, Ken.
Should we take a break? We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Let's listen to a little bit of music here.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long? As I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
Hello, we're back to you listening to the Doctor's Inn. I'm Ken Logan, Dr. Ken Logan, Family Practice here in Chico, and this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. And our guest today on the Doctor's Inn is Tom Reed, community activist, citizen, and great human being, very sharp human being. Hello, Tom.
Good to be here, Ken.
Great. Hey, tell us a little bit.
Before we went on break, we were talking about healthcare and healthcare availability and the systems in other countries and in the United States. Before that, we're talking about finding out citizens in this area, in our community, finding out how politicians running for office in this November, mm-hmm. where they sit relative to their opinions about health care as a right and health care, our system, and ideas about how it could be potentially improved by them as politicians. And you were saying there is going to be a health care forum where they're going to discuss that kind of thing. Tell us again about that.
I will. There's going to be a candidates forum on health care Wednesday. Everybody's got their pens ready or their little telephone thingy. Wednesday, October 10th, 7 to 9. Doors open at 6:30. This will be at the Guild on 2775 Old Nord Avenue. The moderator will be Mike Wiltermuth, the CEO of Inlow Hospital. We have invited all candidates for federal and state offices. We have gotten confirmations from Audrey Denny, who's running for the 1st Congressional District, Kayleen Sisk, who's running for the 1st Assembly District, Sonia Airy, who's running for the 3rd Assembly District, and Philip Kim, who's running for the 4th Senatorial District. The incumbents, we have not gotten a response from yet. They've had more than one invitation, but we haven't gotten any confirmation yet. We're hoping, of course, that they will come. And they are, of course, Doug LaMalfa for the 1st Congressional District, Brian Dahl for the 1st Assembly District, James Gallagher from the 3rd Assembly District, and Jim Nielsen from the 4th Senatorial District. The event is sponsored by the Butte County Healthcare Coalition, the Butte County Healthcare Education Coalition, mm-hmm. The Chico Chapter of Physicians for a National Health Program, the Chico Peace and Justice Center, the Chico Housing Action Team, also known as CHAT, and the California Health Professional Student Alliance. And I'd like to say just a word about that last group, because this last year has been the first time that we've had an active student single-payer group in our community, and there are several very, very bright, very, very competent, and very, very committed students on that campus. If you are a student...
What campus? what campus is good. That?
Yeah, but it could be Butte, too. Chico State. And if you're interested, I'm sure you can find them through Chico State University, or you can contact me, and I'll put you in touch with them. My phone number is 966-3414, and I should just mention that I'd be happy to talk about any of these things if somebody would like to give me a
call. So Tom Reed, person who knows a lot about universal health care options and single-payer specifically, your telephone number is 966?
Yeah, 530-966.
3414.
966-3414. Anybody who'd like to discuss any of these issues, or in particular like to find out about the Butte County Healthcare Education Coalition, uh-huh. or the Physicians for National Health Program, get a hold of me, and I'd be happy to talk to you. And if you want to become involved, we can certainly find a place for you.
Your phone number, 966-3414.
That's correct.
Tom Reed. And then I want you to say the name of the student organization that includes a chapter at Chico State that is also one of the many sponsors of this healthcare forum on October 10th. What's that student organization's name?
The organization, again, is the California Health Professional Student Alliance.
Health Professional Student Alliance.
Right. And the people that I know who are involved in that right now are basically people preparing for employment as a physician. But it also, anybody else, the other organization, the other occupations that you mentioned, including, nurse practitioners or, chiropractors and whatnot, they also would be welcome to be a member of that organization.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I might also mention that the organizations like that one and like the Physicians for a National Health Program, to support the group, you don't have to be a physician. I think you're a member, and you are a physician. I'm a member, and I'm not a physician.
So that's the PNHP, or Physicians for a National Health Program, which is a national organization supporting single-payer or universal health care. And you're, Tom Reed, you're not a physician, but you're a long-time member of that organization, PNHP.
That's correct, because like any organization, like any activist organization, you don't want to lay down a lot of criteria that people can't meet to keep them from being involved in your organization. So, again, anybody who would like to be involved with PNHP or the Butte County Healthcare Education or Healthcare Coalition, please call me at that number, and we'll get you going, and I can put you in contact with the right people.
And that's phone. Your phone number, Tom Reed, is nine. Is a local number. Local 530-966-3414.
That's correct.
And you know, I just wanted to say a little bit in the few minutes that we have left. Say the name of that student. A college student or university student organization that there is a chapter at Chico State of. That's called what again?
The California Health Professional Student Alliance.
California Health Professional Student Alliance.
Correct.
Okay.
And if you're a student or if you're a faculty member or a staff person, particularly at Chico State, I would encourage you to look those people up. I mean, they have, I'm sure they have a directory of student organizations. And if you can't find them, give me a call, and I'll put you in touch with them.
And if you're interested, therefore, that's, you know, thank you very much, Tom Reed. You know, so if anybody's interested, say you're a student or you're a professor at Chico State and you're interested in participating in that organization, can't seem to connect with them, call Tom Reed, 966-3414, and he'll link you with him.
Can I make one more real brief comment?
Yeah.
I have no idea who's listening. Hopefully a lot of people are listening. But if you're a member of an organization that would like someone to come and talk to you about single-payer health care, about the pros and cons, about what's happening in Washington and Sacramento, give me a call or give Ken Logan a call. He can, I'm sure, put us in touch. And I will come and talk, or we'll find somebody else knowledgeable who can come and talk about these issues to your organization.
Yeah, if anybody wanted to contact me about that, you can call me at same area code 530-519-4908 or my email klogan.md@yahoo.com. You know, when I spend time with students, pre-med students, students from Chico State, like these students that are in this student organization that we're talking about, who do support single payer actively, when I'm spending time with them and talking to them about medical things, and they're learning, they shadow me or they watch me working with patients, and you know what I tell them is, when you're in medical school, you learn how to take care of medical conditions. You learn how to take care of human beings as human beings with various medical conditions or preventative medicine things that you're trying to do with the patient. And you're not asked to ask the person what their insurance is before you treat them. We don't learn how to take care of people that way in medical school. We don't say, well, okay, before I start to take care of your broken leg, or before I start to help you with your blood pressure or your diabetes, how much money do you have? Or what's your insurance? We didn't learn it that way. None of us learn it that way. It's not right to have our healthcare system be that way. We learn, all of us, learn how to help people medically. And that's what we need to do. And we in the medical profession are inhibited by this money thing, this
Hippocratic oath.
Insurance thing, yeah. So, single-payer healthcare. Tom Reed, thank you so much for being on the show with us, and you're going to be back again, I hope.
You bet.
Tom Reed, community activist, citizen in our fair city.
Thank you,
Ken. Hey, the Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Knockout Collision. The car fire destroyed over 1,000 homes. Many people have lost everything, and your help is needed. Knockout Collision Repair at 3225 Esplanade is a drop-off location for people that want to donate supplies to help to help people or help those impacted by the car fire. So if you want to help people with the car who've suffered from that car fire, you can drop off donated supplies at Knockout Collision Repair at 3225 the Esplanade. You can also contact them at carfire.visitknockoutcollisionrepair Facebook page for a list of needed items, by the way. And also, the Dr. Zinn is able to be on the air because of an underwriter such as Satava Art Glass Studio, creating internationally acclaimed art glass since 1977. You can experience the magic of Satava Art Glass by visiting their gallery in Chico at 819 Wall Street. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Find Satava Art Glass on the web at on the web at Satava, that's S-A-T-A-V-A, Satava.com. Hey, stay tuned for Beatle Nation, and see you in a month for the Doctor's Inn.
To be filled,
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor, Lord, or prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor.
No,
I don't need no doctor.
All in my baby's arms, I could take away these chills.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed unto the sun.